Okay, now we're recording and we'll start our roll call. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Ms. Remick?
Here.
Mr. Clinton?
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Ms. Hunter?
Present.
And Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Chepius?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Present.
And Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Excellent. We have a quorum and all staff is present. Dr. Cornwall?
All right. First item on the agenda is review and approval of draft minutes. So item 2A, December 15th, 2020, regular meeting minutes. Any changes, additions, corrections?
I have one correction on page 9. There's a mid-page, it says non-dispensary, and it should be probably non-disciplinary.
That darn spell check.
Non-disciplinary.
Perfect. I will change that.
Are there any other changes? Hearing none, I move that we accept the minutes of December 15th, 2020, regular meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the December 15th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right. Next item is December 15th, 2020 executive session minutes. Any corrections, additions?
I make a motion to accept the executive sessions as presented for December 15th, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the December 15th, 2020 executive session meeting minutes. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, moving on to agenda item number 3A, applications for licensure and certification. item 3A1, review, consideration, and approval of applications for physical therapists with documentation related to disclosure on personal information section of the application. Sean Bondi? Any discussion, motions?
I move that we accept the application, Mr. Bondi, based on successful passing of the AZ law.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Sean Bondi as a physical therapist following successful completion of his application and all testing. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer? Mr. Greer? Mr. Greer? Oh, something happened. Mr. Greer, are you there? Something happened to Josh. Mr. Harris, what do we do in this situation? Do we consider him absent for this vote?
Karen, members of the board, I think what we can do is just reflect in the minutes that he did not participate on the vote for the approval of agenda item 3A1 sub 1.
Okay. In that case, the motion is passed.
All right. Next item.
Karen, this is Josh. I'm here. Sorry, I pushed the wrong button. I accidentally hung up instead of unmuting myself. I voted yes.
Thank you. And the motion passes.
Okay. On to Pierre Goud.
I make a motion to approve Mr. Goud. Is that how you pronounce his name? On passing of the Arizona jurisprudence exam and state law.
Second.
Any discussion? The fact that his infraction was only about, was less than 2 years ago.
I have some concerns on this one too, because, you know, if I recall, this was not the first incident, was it?
As far as we know, I think this was the first in 2019.
Yeah.
I might be getting this confused with another one.
You are, Josh. It's, I believe, the next one.
I guess I'm just concerned that it's somewhat unlikely that this is his first and only offense. And it was fairly recent. So we don't know what his behavior is going to be like going forward. Any other discussion?
This, I'm just looking through the file. This appears to have been resolved through the court system. Is that correct?
Yes, it does look like that.
Correct.
Yes. I share your concerns, but I am in favor of moving forward for him.
Any other discussion? We have a motion. We have a second. Are you ready to vote?
Yes.
So the motion before you is to approve Pierre Goud for physical therapist licensure following successful completion of his application and passage of all exams. Dr. Cornwell?
No.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, next is Charles Tabola.
This is Dr. King. I would like to have Mr. Tabola come before the board and talk with us a little bit about his history and what he's done or doing to ensure that he's not continuing this behavior.
And so, Ms. King, you're looking for a motion to potentially table to next meeting?
I am. It's really, my comment is for discussion, just from my perspective. Depending on how the board discusses, I will happily make a motion.
Thank you.
I agree with Ms. King's thought. Specifically, I want to know if he's still on probation. It looks like he is still on probation. I just want to talk to him. And so I would, you know, I'll go ahead and make a motion if that's okay, Dr. King.
Absolutely.
I have a question real quick. Would he still get a fingerprint card if he was on probation?
He does have a fingerprint card.
Correct.
Okay.
And it could be that he could be that he somehow completed his probation.
So if he were still on probation, would he still be able to get a fingerprint card? Is my question.
That I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but I do think it's interesting that he was denied licensure in California. I do think it's important for us to have a conversation with him.
Well, the thing was, Kelly, is that he was allowed to exam there. He passes national there. So they let him exam, but when it came to licensure, that's when they denied him. But they did approve him for his exam.
Correct. And that's where he still stands, right? Because he was denied there and now he's applying in Arizona.
Correct.
It's not a
real big surprise that California denied.
So Josh, did you make the motion?
Josh did.
I was about to, but Peggy interrupted me.
Sorry, Josh.
I move that we table this to the next meeting, February 2021 meeting. I also move that we instruct staff to invite the licensee, the applicant, to that meeting.
So he.
Hang on, wait. Who seconded?
Dr. King.
Thank you. Go ahead, Veronica, you had a question?
Sorry about that. Yes, he would have attended. He said he would have called off work. So he will. He is willing to call off work. And when I tell him that, you guys want to question him.
All right, we'll see him at next meeting after this vote. You're in discussion.
Any other?
And with regard to that, we can be flexible at the time. We can give him a time certain so he doesn't have to take off the whole day.
Okay. Appreciate that.
And in the meantime, can we do some research? And I'm happy to do it to see if you can actually obtain a fingerprint clearance card while on probation.
So my understanding, Dr. King, is that the DPS does the fingerprint card. If there's something that invalidates a current card, they do send us notice.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, further discussion about the motion? Karen, let's call the question then.
Okay. So the motion before you is to table Charles Tabiola's application request for testing for the next meeting and invite Mr. Tabiola to virtually attend that meeting so that the board may further discuss with Mr. Tabiola his GMC issues. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right. Next is William Whitlock. Any discussion or motions? All right, I move that we grant Mr. Whitlock's licensure application.
Second, King.
Any other discussion? Okay, hearing none, call the question.
It's been moved and seconded to approve William Whitlock for facilities licensure following successful completion of his application and passage of all exams. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Item 3A2, review of and possible action on application for physical therapist licensure from applicants requesting ADA accommodations. Grace Hartle. I move that we approve Ms. Hartle's request for accommodations to take the MPT and AZ law exams.
Second.
Is she? Okay, never mind.
This is Nishka Remick. As I read the documentation on the disability form, I would not be in favor of this motion. I do not feel, I would not be in favor of this motion.
Do you want to elaborate?
And the only,
what is she actually requesting? More to, I'm having a hard time.
She's
it.
Requesting just a separate room. Secondary to COVID issues, which is going to be hard to deny at this time.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm in favor of this.
Yeah.
Due to her severe asthma. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. Having working in the hospital right now and seeing patients even with a moderate, it's I think it's worth that. I think for me, I support it.
My understanding is that the setup for the rooms are already such that they are providing adequate space. And I'm wondering how this might be different than clinical practice.
Well, I think if you're in a room, even though they're making accommodations, I think it'd be very difficult if you have asthma to breathe. Mm-hmm. They're still inside, and when I'm in the clinic all day, I'm still wearing a mask. So
I think the other thing to think about is if she has her inhaler with her, would it be disrupting to the other test takers if she's needing to do inhaling treatments while she's taking the exam? So I'm thinking of her as well as the quiet room of the other test takers.
Any other discussion? I think we have a motion.
You do? You have a motion?
We have a second.
To accept, to grant the ADA accommodations for Grace Hartwell. Are you ready for the question? Yes? All right.
Yes.
So the motion before you is to approve ADA accommodations for Grace Hartwell. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, next item on the agenda is Shannon Manning.
This is Peggy. I have a little bit of a problem with her wanting a paper and a pen to write with during the test. I think this is asking a little bit too much.
I wish that there was a little bit more information that would help link her Lyme disease diagnosis with that of lack of concentration, needing a paper and pencil, etc. There may be, but they didn't help me connect those dots. So,
well,
I think she needs to provide additional information.
If I remember correctly, we looked at this request and we asked for more updated medical information.
That's correct.
Very, right? It's a very brief summary, like Dr. Cromwell said, that it's a very brief summary that's not super connecting the impact of her medical condition to how it would put her at a potential ADA disadvantage, right? In taking the test as other test takers would take. So I'm having a hard time connecting the dots for her.
Well, Dr. King, I did let her know that you guys requested supporting information from her doctor, and this is what was provided to me.
So there is conflict because she wants double time, the separate room, and a paper and pen, and the doctor only writes back that time and a half is the only thing needed. So I don't know what to do with this.
Well, I'm inclined to, we've asked her for more information. This is what we've got. And I'm inclined at this point to deny it.
Yeah.
And the letter from the doctor, it's almost like a ghost letter. Like mm-hmm. It's just kind of boilerplate that there was really no evaluation done. It's just, mm-hmm. So that's my opinion. She can always come back with additional information. If we deny it today, she can still come back.
Is that a motion, Dr. Cornwell?
I'll move to not approve Shannon Manning's request.
Second.
This doctor does say she needs time and a half, which I think that's reasonable to grant. But the other things I'm not in favor of, just for your consideration.
It's been moved and seconded to deny. You're in discussion.
This is Mr. Remick. I will vote to deny this request, namely because we have asked for additional information, and at this point there was none granted. So since there's not a clear link for me, that is why I vote this way. So we'll be voting this way.
Any other comments, or anybody have questions, or are you ready to take for the vote?
Yes.
Okay, let's call the question then.
The motion before you is to deny Shannon Manning's request for ADA accommodations. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
And Mr. Greer?
Yes.
And the motion passes.
All right. Moving to item on the agenda 4, complaint hearings, investigations, and compliance. 4A, review, discussion, and possible action for initial review. So first is case number 19-24. Tana Gilman, physical therapist assistant.
So this is complaint 1924, Ms. Tana Gilman. The board opened complaint 1924 after receipt of disclosure by the National Practitioner Database of a $100,000 settlement for substandard care for patient RC. This case is for your review.
I would like to move to take no action.
Can you explain your rationale?
I think that she did. Yeah, she had a settlement against her, but she wasn't really found in violation. Her home state didn't take any action. And it sounds like it was more of the insurance companies who got together and said, let's just pay this off.
So, Dr. Cornwell, I think we missed a skip. I believe Ms. Gilman and her lawyer are present.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, are you present? Ms. Gilman? Mr. King, are you present? Huh, they were present. Go ahead, continue. I apologize.
Can you tell whether or not they're on mute?
Can anybody tell if they're on mute? Looking for Mr. Scott King, Mr. Tanya Gilman. I know they came in earlier, so. Okay, they are not present now. Go ahead, continue.
This is Mindy. I see them on the listing of people that are in attendance and that they're on mute.
Okay, Mr. King, we need you to come off mute. Ms. Gilman, we need you to come off mute.
If they're on the telephone, you have to push star six to come off mute.
They're trying to come off mute. I've seen them change back and forth. It looks like they're together in one room.
Okay.
We're on one call.
Mr. King, star six if you're on the phone.
If you've muted your computer, it might be a separate setting than this meeting.
Check the speakers on your computer.
They're going back and forth with the mute and unmute in the meeting.
So, Mr. King, unmute your computer, not the meeting. Keep your meeting mic open and then go to the very, very bottom of your bar where you'll see a little speaker that probably has an X in it. Click on that.
Okay, it looks like they're off mute. Oh, they're now. Now they're back. Anyway. Should we table this and come back?
We certainly can. Mr. King, you could also go on by phone. You have that phone number and PIN number as well. Judy, can you see what's happening with them?
All I can see is their microphone has changed to the green three dots, which implies that they actually have unmuted this meeting. My thought is it's with the computer. So whether they've muted the computer or the volume is just down.
Okay.
Karen, they may be able to use the chat to tell you what's going on, what their complication is. They can just
yep. You could do that. Let me just check my email real quick as well. I do not have anything from them in my email. Mr. Harris, do you have any suggestions on what would be appropriate at this point?
Karen, members of the board, we certainly have the ability to, continue as while we were having technical challenges. I would certainly recommend doing so if the board is inclined to not to do anything other than to take no action, to give them the opportunity to address the board. However, if you are, you know, taking no action is the appropriate thing to do, then I do think you have the ability to go forward.
Okay, so let's, we need a motion to table?
Yes.
Okay. And then Mr. King and Ms. Gilman, if you come on, feel free to, at the appropriate place, interrupt us and let us know you can speak to us. All right, Dr. Cornwell.
I move that we table this item for a later time in the same meeting.
Second, King.
Been moved and second to table complaint 1924 to a spot in the future of this meeting. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick? Ms. Remick? Ms. Remick?
Uh-oh, it's contagious.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Kerr? We'll circle back around, Ms. Remick. We'll consider Ms. Remick not available for this vote. The motion passes. Dr. Cornwell.
All right, then moving on to case number 20-06, Todd Holland, physical therapist.
Ms. Richardson.
Good morning, members of the board. I have noted that Mr. Holland and his attorney, Ms. Heather Macra, are on the line. And as a brief summary of this case, complaint 2006 was opened by his employer at the time. Ms. Stingley alleged that Mr. Holland engaged in substandard care, that he created inaccurate documentation, and he improperly billed for services for three patients. This case is for your review.
Okay. since this is an initial review, would Mr. Holland or his attorney wish to make any statement?
Yes, sir. Both myself and Mr. Holland would like to make brief statements to the board. We appreciate your time. I'm going to let Mr. Holland go first.
And if Dr. King, you could mute your computer, I'd appreciate it. Mr. Holland.
Yes. Can I speak? Okay.
Yes,
please. Yes, I'd just like to, I have a statement I'd like to read, if possible. And this is how it starts. I have been a physical therapist for 28 years. I have been licensed and practiced physical therapy in Michigan and Arizona. Prior to 2020, I had no history of patient or board complaint. I am credentialed in mechanical diagnosis and treatment of the spine and extremities and certified in ergonomics and functional capacity evaluation. I've taken over 50 continuing education courses and have dedicated my career to be the best physical therapist I can possibly be. Prior to July 2019, we had a full physical therapy team at Rehab Care, providing therapy services to a very large senior living community, the V at Silverstone. The V at Silverstone is a very large senior living campus of 165 acres with two main buildings. I was responsible for walking to provide physical therapy service to the entire campus and mandated to maintain a minimum of 85% productivity rate. The first building, the care center, contained a skilled nursing unit of 24 units, an assisted living of 24 units, and memory care of 12 units. The second building was independent living, which contained 270 units, and we provided outpatient therapy service to residents there in their room, throughout the independent living facility, the fitness center, and surrounding villa homes. moving frequently between locations that were a 10-minute walk apart. Third, I was responsible for learning and starting a brand new program in late fall 2019, providing home health therapy services following discharge from the skilled nursing facility back to independent living in their apartment using a separate documentation system. The therapy team, the physical therapy team consisted of two full-time physical therapists and two full-time physical therapy assistants that I had worked closely with for 4 to 6 years and felt very comfortable delegating the appropriate patients to both of them. I also had a supportive therapy manager and a full-time receptionist for scheduling and administrative tasks. My performance evaluations always exceeded expectations in all areas and had no history of patient or board complaints. After July 2019, upper management made some changes that led to one physical therapy assistant resigning and the termination of my therapy manager. The therapy manager was replaced with an interim manager who was managing two facilities. A new physical therapy assistant was hired without allowing me to approve their skills and the regular delegation process that I had managed changed immediately. Management started to delegate my patients to the new physical therapy assistant without my consent. I contacted the Arizona Board of Physical Therapy to clarify the rules for PTA supervision. The board advised me that I am required to follow the rules for PTA delegation to maintain my license in good standing. I met with management and explained my requirements for proper PTA delegation and offered reasonable solutions. Excuse me for a moment. Upper management, specifically Tiara Tingling, physical therapist, and the regional director objected to my request, stating that I should trust that all physical therapy assistants were competent. I disagreed with her, restating the rules for PTA supervision and delegation that I was required to follow, which upset her. After the meeting, my patients continued to be delegated by management to the new physical therapy assistant despite my request. Realizing that management would not comply, I tried to find other therapy employment, but the job market was slow due to changes in PDPM and home health jobs did not provide benefits. So I felt I could keep job searching while trying to make the best of my job situation at the V. At the time, I felt that quitting my job during a slow job market and losing my health benefits would put me in a position of too much uncertainty. In fall 2019, management informed us that an audit had been completed and they had been fined and our documentation needed to improve or face write-up. Management then moved the second physical therapist to another facility and reduced the receptionist to a part-time basis. At this time, management implemented a new home health therapy program with minimal training that the therapy team was responsible for handling in addition to our regular busy patient load. The physical therapy patient load started to increase significantly. The therapy staff and I requested therapist help from management to handle the extra patient load and documentation, but none was provided. Management continued to place pressure on maintaining the expected 85% productivity rate despite the increase in workload. This constant pressure led me to do things I would not have otherwise. In January 2020, I was written up by management and put on a performance improvement plan regarding my documentation, which was not related to billing or issues before the board. I disagreed with management and stated that I am too busy with patient care to document to their expectations. I was overwhelmed and stressed handling my patient load that insisted on only seeing me and overseeing two physical therapy assistants and completing all the documentation. Despite the heavy load and physical therapy assistant supervision responsibilities, I improved my documentation to meet their expectations. On 1/29/2020, I was scheduled to see Mr. EG for an updated plan of care. Noel, my physical therapy assistant, who was treating Mr. EG, informed me that he canceled due to illness. I would have rescheduled Mr. EG to assess the patient and complete the document with him on the next visit. Due to extreme pressure and threats for management of write-up and termination, if documents were completed late and not maintaining a minimum of 85% productivity, I completed the document on the date it was due. I assessed Mr. EG based on close communication with Noel, the physical therapy assistant, discussing the patient's progress with him, recent observation and consultation with the patient, and I reviewed the physical therapy assistant daily notes. I also completed the TUG test because it was rehab care policy to update the standardized test on the updated plan of care to avoid being deficient on my performance improvement plan for documentation and face write-up and termination. On 2/5/2020, I was interrupted by Carol Wall, the interim manager, during treatment of Mr. JB. She stated that I had to stop treatment immediately and return with her to the therapy office. I asked if I could complete his treatment first, but she said no. Mr. JB was very upset and insisted that I see him for another 10 minutes. He complained about the interruption, and I told him I would make it up to him on his next visit. I then left with Mrs. Wall to return to the therapy office. In the therapy office, Mrs. Wall told me the document for Mr. EG was under investigation, and I had to punch out of my iPad and leave the facility immediately. I tried to punch out, but the system wouldn't allow me until I had completed the two remaining documents, which were Mr. JB daily note and Mr. SS initial evaluation. Mr. SS had been added to my busy work schedule that day by management due to high priority of evaluating new admits into the skilled nursing facility immediately. Due to my heavy work schedule, I planned to complete Mr. SS evaluation after seeing Mr. JB. I would have punched out and left the facility immediately, but management told me that I needed to complete the evaluation document and daily note, sync my device, and leave the facility. Under tremendous stress and pressure, I completed the evaluation document and daily note so I could leave the facility. The only reason that the evaluation document note was completed is because my manager and the company computer system mandated completion for me to be able to sign out of the system. Normally, I would have completed the documents under point of service documentation, but I was not allowed by management to leave the therapy office. After 2/5/2020, and during the investigation period, I wrote a response to Human Resources explaining my reasons for completing the documentation due to improper management direction and support, specifically Kara Wall and Tiara Stingley, but I was then terminated. I felt the termination was unjustified, but decided to move forward and find a new position. I then secured a job as rehab director with Legacy Healthcare Services, which I am still currently employed. Shortly after this time, I received a letter from the board that a complaint was filed against me by Tiara Stingley, physical therapist, not rehab care, who is not a licensed physical therapist in Arizona, alleging that I provided substandard care and billing. I immediately thought this was done in personal retaliation for my objecting to her physical therapy assistant delegation demands and my response to her to Human Resources about her improper management. I am asking the board to understand the difficult and stressful work situation and management threats I was having to face during that time. I know now that I should have handled the three documents properly and faced the consequences from management or resigned. Please don't let a high qualified, experienced physical therapist career be ruined by management that feels reductions in therapy reimbursement gives them the justification to push therapists to work short-staffed, undermanaged, demand high productivity and documentation standards, and force all delegation to physical therapy assistants. I have learned by this experience, and if faced with this situation again, I am more prepared to make better choices and know what is expected by the board. Since that time, I have tried to better myself as a physical therapist by completing several continuing education courses on documentation and billing. That is my statement.
Thank you very much. Does any board member have questions that they feel will help them make a decision on how to handle this initial review?
Dr. Cornwell, I believe the attorney wanted to make a statement following Mr. Holland.
Is it going to be shorter than the last one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Also, if you do want to ask questions of Mr. Holland, I certainly don't want to impede on any of that time. You know, members of the board, first of all, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to address you. I also want to thank board staff who has been incredibly helpful to us throughout this process. This case is sort of like the case of when you try to boil a frog. You've probably heard this. If you throw a frog into a pot of water that's already boiling, the frog jumps out. But if you leave a frog in a pot of temperate water and you heat it slowly to the point of boiling, the frog stays in the pot. That's how you boil the frog. Excuse this terrible metaphor, but that's exactly what happened to Mr. Holland. Mr. Holland has been a physical therapist for 28 years. He has never had a board complaint or a patient complaint. He has had an exemplary career. However, at the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020, he found himself in an impossible situation due to a change in management at his employer. Now, prior to this, he had worked at the V at Silverstone for 6 years. Now, understand, this is a very large facility. There's a lot of moving in between the different types of care levels, but he was managing quite well. In fact, we presented a declaration from his manager, Leslie Archunde, who was his manager prior to this management change, and she just gushed about how wonderful he was, how much patients loved him. And she also made the point that she did monthly audits of his billing and never found anything other than a few minor errors. However, in mid to late 2019, the V had a management change. And as part of this management change, they got rid of Ms. Archunde, they got rid of one of the physical therapy assistants that Todd had worked with for a long time. And in fact, during this period of time, in about 4 months, they went through two other physical therapy associates. So Mr. Holland is in a facility that is very large, that is understaffed, and he is facing a lot of pressure from the turnover that he was seeing at the facility, the introduction of a home health program, and the loss of the receptionist. Again, he's the frog in the water, and the water is starting to simmer. As 2019 moves into 2020, it starts to get worse. The pressure is building. At this point, Mr. Holland has an 85% productivity rate. Now, he is working 5 8-hour shifts a week, which means that with an 85% productivity rate, he has a little more than 1 hour a day to do all of his non-billable work. Now, remember, for physical therapists, this non-billable work isn't just certain amounts of documentation. It's moving between these facilities. It's sometimes a 10-minute walk. It's setting up things in the gym. It's taking them down. It's talking to the other physical therapy associates. It's looking at a schedule and delegating. He has less than an hour a day to do this. The pressure was extreme. And during this time, Mr. Holland notes a delegation issue. So he does what he is supposed to do. He calls the board. And when the board tells him that his concerns about the delegation are valid, he does the next thing that he's supposed to do, which is talk to his manager, who then passes him up the chain of the command to Tiara Stingley. Ms. Stingley became very upset, and this is the time where management decided to performance manage Todd Holland out of this job. They didn't want to have a physical therapist who, even though he was the only physical therapist for a 300-bed facility, who was going to hold their feet to the fire and do anything that was going to harm their bottom line, even if it was the right thing to do for patient care. So we see from there that they just start stripping away his clinical judgment. He's putting on a performance improvement plan to work on his documentation, not his billing, but on his documentation. This starts to force Mr. Holland to work unpaid overtime in order to comply with what they are asking him to do. Unpaid overtime, which is another legal issue. Then they start pressuring him to do things within certain amounts of time, and that's how we get to the record for that first patient on 129 EG.
again, Mr. Holland knew that he needed to be documenting at point of care. He talked about this in the board investigation, but he was under pressure to do this evaluation on time, even though he hadn't seen the patient. He was not in a position where he could call management and say, hey, the patient is sick, let's reschedule this. He was already on a performance improvement plan. They were already getting on him about productivity. So he goes ahead and he completes the record. Then on 2-5, the day that he is ultimately terminated, again, Mr. Holland is with a patient. He's pulled off the therapy floor and put into the therapy office with his manager, Kara Wall. And he's told, you must complete this documentation before you leave. And he asks, hey, can I go back and see the folks so that I can do this at the patient? He's told no. So every single instance, these three instances of improper billing are in a pressure cooker. Right now, he's the frog and the water is boiling. He is under extreme duress in his job. And at each point in time, management is forcing him to create these billing records and then firing him over it. This was an incredibly unfair situation and hopefully a unique one that doesn't repeat itself. I will say too, Mr. Holland has done a lot to improve himself since this time. After the complaint was filed, and frankly, before he even met me, Mr. Holland went ahead and on his own volition took continuing education classes on billing. He has also now found an employer who is much more supportive, and he has taken even more additional continuing education classes on appropriate billing and documentation. So we're here before the board today to tell you that this was an unfortunate situation. My client understands that what he did was not the right thing, but he was under a tremendous amount of pressure and being directed by management to do things that he shouldn't have. I believe that this is a case that does not require you suspending his license or taking it. Mr. Holland is an excellent therapist, and I think at most he deserves a chance to maybe take some more continuing education classes or have a non-disciplinary advisory letter. I'm happy to take questions, and I know Mr. Holland is, and thank you so much for your time.
All right. Any board members have questions?
Mr. Holland, this is Peggy Hunter. I'm a little concerned because you've been a therapist for so long. I'm a little surprised that you took this situation and didn't handle it more properly. I mean, you are a skilled physical therapist. You know the law, or you should know the law. And for you to do some of the things that you did just because you were under stress, I don't believe is a very good excuse. You're supposed to be able to handle the situation. It is your license at stake. So what would you have done differently?
Well, moving forward, this, you know, I've learned by this experience to make better choices, I think, moving forward. One, I would bill therapy services under point of service when possible. When point of service was not possible, I would not bill services.
And that's exactly what you should have done in this situation. You've been a skilled therapist for 28 years, excuse me. I don't understand why you didn't do that. And to do a reevaluation when you not even see the patient.
It was an exorbitantly stressful time. I was looking for other employment. It was a tough job market situation at the time. I was trying to take care of things. I was very pulled so many different ways. I mean, they wouldn't let me have late documentation. They were maintaining a high 85% productivity rate. I was working very short staffed. I was on this performance improvement plan. They were scrutinizing my documentation every week, having me in these meetings. They were forcing this physical therapy assistant delegation, you know what I mean, when not appropriate. Objecting to that. They were constantly stating, if you don't do these things, you're going to be written up and you're going to be terminated. We were handling administrative tasks because our receptionist, you know, was cut down to part-time. The workload was so significant. Now, I was at a facility and I was very popular and well-known there. And the caseload really took off there towards late 2019, and I asked for more assistance and help, and they didn't grant it. We started off a home health program, which was brand new, and I was responsible for starting that up and managing that with the assistance as well. The company has a, you know, policy on standardized tests that they said you can't, they didn't want any exceptions on. You have to get them done at these documents, when these documents are due for your plan of care, your updated plan of care, your discharge, and then forcing me to do the documentation on, you know, my last day on February 5th, and not, you know, before I could leave the facility, which I thought was unfair because I would have left, and or gone back and completed those documents properly. What I would do is I would, my going forward, this is how I would make that, this is how I think is more appropriate, and this is how I've been since then, and I will continue in moving forward with my career, to bill, you know, the services under point of service when possible. When that's not possible, I would not bill the services, therapy services. I would consult management better about appropriate, you know, therapist productivity rate so I could handle this documentation, consult management about reasonable deadlines and completing the therapy documents, consult management about proper therapy staffing levels so that we could handle things more properly. And if management was being unreasonable and they wouldn't work with me on these things, I would resign.
That's a very good explanation, and I think that's exactly what you should have done in this case. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Holland, just for my clarification, your supervisors, Ms. Wall and Stingley, are either of them physical therapists?
Mrs. Stingley is a physical therapist, and Mrs. Wall is a speech therapist.
Okay.
Just to be clear, I believe Ms. Stingley is a therapist licensed in Colorado. Is that correct, Todd?
Yes.
And she was not on site. She was in Colorado, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, all right, this sounds just kind of bizarre. She's licensed in another state, but she's essentially acting as a physical therapist in Arizona by telling you and assigning PTA, right? Isn't that part of the practice?
She was the director over my therapy manager at the facility and putting pressure on my manager, who actually was fired because she was, you know, saying this is unreasonable, the demands that are being, and they just found a way to terminate her.
So Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, I just want to remind you that anybody can create a schedule. They don't have to be licensed as a physical therapist to do that. It is the responsibility of the physical therapist to ensure that delegation is appropriate for each person.
I understand that, but that's, I guess I'm irritated that we've got a therapist in Colorado basically trying to dictate practice in another state. Mm-hmm. I hope she never tries to come to Arizona.
Mr. Cornwall, I have a question for Mr. Holland.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Holland, I was reading it through some of the statements, and there was a statement on page 8, it was a bullet point that talked about that you did not see patient EG, but observed several sessions in weeks prior and took time on 129 to discuss with the PTA. On 129, the discussion of this patient would fall under billable time as assessment. Can you help me understand how not actually seeing the patient and just talking about them in your mind is billable?
Well, I don't see that now. At the time, the pressure, they wanted those documents completed. And it was crazy. I mean, it was a crazy time. I always had another physical therapist that could handle that situation. They posted lists in the therapy office. They were highlighted lists stating that these documents needed to be completed today. And if you didn't do them, they let you know.
I appreciate that. I was
constantly being pressured and pushed on that. And, it's a lot. You can't really do your job the way you want to.
I think for me, certainly with your number of years of experience, which I absolutely appreciate, and reading through your statement and listening to your statement and your attorney, understanding that there was a great amount of pressure, things were not going well, two questions. Well, one statement, one question. Statement is, it sounds as though when you were talking about it was a tough employment time, you were more concerned about making sure that your employment and that you continue to make a wage as opposed to really doing due diligence to protect these patients. Secondly, my question though was, did it ever occur to you, you called the board, did it ever occur to you to call the board and file a complaint against this company?
Yes, I wanted to do that, but I wanted to kind of move on. After I was terminated on after 2-5, I was like, I want to move on with my career and my life. I mean, I've always been someone that, I don't like to quit. I'm not a quitter. So, you know what I mean? I'm like, I would try to make things right. And I was trying to talk to management and I was trying to rectify the situation. They were at the time being unreasonable. And I had a meeting with upper management after that. And Tiara Stingley was present there. And the other managers did feel that I was justified in some of my thoughts on things, but Tiara Stingley she was very persistent about things and she just wanted things kind of her way. And if you didn't follow through on things, then, you were sort of, put under scrutiny. I really feel this is done for personal retaliation because she called me personally and I spoke to her for over an hour and I explained to her about the physical therapy assistant delegation situation. And I said, these are my reasonable solutions to rectify the problem. And she just wouldn't, she's like, no, when they come out of physical therapy assistant school, they're competent. You can trust that. That's what I do. And I'm going, this lady's in Colorado. And I asked her, I said, are you licensed in Arizona? She said, no. And I thought to myself, this lady's in upper management. Why is she, doing this? She not fully understanding, the Arizona laws. There's a lot of financial stuff going on in the back. They never really shared that with us, but that was happening and led to all of these departures, resignations and terminations at the company. And they were just trying to save, reduce costs and save money. I was a highly compensated therapist as well. And, they wanted to change things and they were trying to find, ways to do it. So I am a little bitter about it, but I want, I just want to move on with my career and I've learned a lot by it. And I just want to, do things right from this point forward.
All right. Any other questions or do we have a motion?
Mr. Cornwall, Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, I make a motion that we move this to an informal hearing.
Second.
You're in discussion.
Dr. Donahue, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is there any way that the board can write a letter to this organization stating that they're designating PTAs in an incorrect way?
The Board of Physical Therapy does not regulate. We only regulate physical therapists and physical therapist assistants. So unless Mr. Harris has a different idea, I do not believe that we are entitled to send a letter to a company or a facility requesting anything from them.
Because if I'm a PTA, if I were a PT, I would agree with Mr. Holland. I'd like to know what the PTA can and cannot do before I gave that person any of my patients. I think that's very unreasonable.
And it is the responsibility of the physical therapist to know that prior to delegation.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Harris, I don't know if you want to chime in at all.
Karen, members of the board, no, I agree.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to move complaint 2006 to an informal hearing. You are.
This I agree with this motion.
Sorry, Karen, go ahead.
I do agree with this motion. I do feel like we need to look at it a little bit more formally. See what we might do at that point.
I agree with Dr. Castillo. For me, the crux of the issue, in addition to it sounding like a really unpleasant work environment, for me, the main issue is billing for therapy services that were not delivered. So I would be in favor of moving this to an informal hearing.
I think informal hearing is appropriate because I'm certainly not thinking about suspension or revocation. That's not appropriate. So an informal hearing, those would be off the table. Are people ready to call a question?
So it's been moved in second. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Remick.
No? I said my statement. Thank you, Dr. Donahue.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to move complaint 2006 to an informal hearing. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. King? Ms. Dr.
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Greer?
Yes. Thank you for elevating me.
The motion pet. I do that every meeting at least once, Dr. Greer. Thank you so much. Okay. Mr. Greer. All right. The motion passes. Mr. King, Ms. Gilman, are you present? Still, we're having difficulty.
Well, I thought that they were coming back in, but Mr. Holland, thank you very much for participating. If you've got, you or your attorney have questions, the board staff will be happy to answer them for you. So thank you very much for participating.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's fortuitous that we have so many first year physical therapy students in on this one. Hopefully they took note that there's one company in Arizona that they probably ought not to apply for. And that it doesn't matter what their employer says, they're the ones that are gonna have to bear the brunt of any infractions. So be careful when you take that job, all right? And Mr. Holland, I'm glad you found something that's better for you.
Thank you.
So do we have Ms. Gilman at all? Or do we move to the next one?
Ms. Gilman, Mr. King, are you present?
They are present and displaying as unmuted in the meeting.
but we cannot hear you nor see you.
They did leave, and he did chat. He did send that they're trying to get in, Karen, and I did let them back in, and the speaker doesn't seem to be working still.
All right, let's move on. We need them to solve their issues, but let's not hold it up.
Karen, do you want to deal with that case, or do you want to go to the next one and give them one more chance?
Let's give them one more chance. Judy, will you please send, I think I have to do it. Go ahead, Dr. Cornwell. I'm going to send Mr. King a phone link to that meeting, and there's no way they cannot be present by phone. So,
well, Dr. King?
What's that?
I'm sorry, Dr. Cornwell?
Yes?
I got a message from the lawyer of the next case, Mrs. Wheatsman's lawyer. Uh-huh. And he got called away to a hearing at 9:30, but he said he should be back. And so just to let you guys know that he was present, but he had to leave for a hearing, and he knows that her case was 9:30, but he said that if we could table it so he can come back from his hearing and continue. Right,
we'll just reorder the agenda.
Okay.
Let's move to item number 4A4, case 20-38. Janelle Wartzenberg, physical therapist assistant.
This is Ken. This is complaint 2038, Janelle Wartzenberg. Ms. Wartzenberg was charged with an extreme DUI on 2/15/2020. Ms. Wartzenberg failed to notify the board within the 10-day requirement.
Is she here by any chance?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. The question I have at the moment is, you mentioned counseling and screening. What does that exactly involve?
I would just like to start with saying I did not report yet because I thought I had to report once I actually went to court and was charged. And then by email, that's when Ms. Donahue told me that if you received a ticket, you were charged. I went to court December 30th. They did at that time require that I do, as with most DUI cases here, you have to undergo a alcohol screening. And then at that time, they determine if you have to further counseling. They also fined me. And it's now reported. I did obtain a lawyer and was trying to reduce the charges and plead a case. It did turn out that instead of three counts, I was charged with one count misdemeanor, and then had to, again, complete screening, and then it determined if I had to do counseling, which will happen February.
Okay, so the screening is, they're looking for other issues or whether or not you need professional help? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they want to see if it's recommended for counseling, further counseling for alcohol class.
Do you recall what was the result of those screening tests?
It's not happened yet. I will be doing that on February 5th.
Okay. Do any other board members have questions?
This is Nishka Remick. I would be in favor of tabling this until after she receives some additional results from the court, specifically for the February 5th screen.
This is Dr. King. I
Would second that motion.
All right, so we have a motion to table.
Ms. Remick, members of the board, generally we do not have access to the results of those testing. So I just want to make you aware that it's not something that we can obtain.
Miss.
I would also like to add, if I may.
Go ahead.
I'm not justified at all, but it was a case. It was after a holiday. And no, I should not have been driving. I don't imagine that they would that I need further counseling, but you never know, they might. I don't believe this is an issue. It's almost a year ago. It's never in my life. And this is the first time ever I've been practicing 8 years. Good wake up call, but I don't feel this would be an issue. I can let.
No, that's, anyway, so I think this is where the concern is that this is an extreme DUI. And so the question in our mind is, are you safe to practice? And at this point, we don't know. So that's why I was trying to figure out what this screening test would do. Would it give us enough information to make that decision? We can't require you, we're not gonna get that report directly from them, but it might be nice if you could share it with the board.
I have no problem. I've further went into, I've studied a little bit of what would make that. I mean, anything more than three drinks will make it an extreme DUI. I also have a low, I just don't, sorry, I'm having a hard time finding the word. My body just does not break down alcohol. So anything more than three drinks for me is an extreme DUI. I've taken that into consideration. And if, you know, friends and I happen to go out or go out on a weekend or for holidays, we have numbers that we can call. At that time we were pulled over, it was after 2 a.m. On Valentine's. There was no further cabs available. And we should have just made other arrangements, but I just was not able to. But now we just, you know, in advance, make it a priority. If we go out, there's a local company and a friend that comes and picks all of us up, not just me. But I can understand your concern on that.
Do you have any idea how many drinks you had that evening?
We had started with dinner. We went out afterwards, you know, with friends to karaoke. I had then been sitting a while drinking water and was informed that there was no cabs available. And the other company was busy. So I had been, say, probably a good 2-3 hours drinking water before we even attempted to do that, to drive home. And then I was out of my home.
Sorry,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
They had just, this bar we've, you know, is known for local police. They do follow people from this bar. I was informed that, you know, they had originally started following me because I did not turn my blinker to go onto the road from private property, which was already not standard or legal. Then they followed me, which I lived around the corner. I then went around a car that was on the corner of my street to go around them and to proceed forward. And that's when they pulled me over. They said I was going into oncoming traffic, which was a private street, first off.
Ms. Wartenberg, this is Peggy Hunter. How many alcoholic drinks did you have? To Dr. Cornwall's question.
I want to say we had we started with dinner. I had a couple glasses of wine there throughout a 3-hour period. Then I want to say maybe 3 more drinks throughout the night.
So you had 6 drinks?
Yeah, throughout a 10-hour period.
Thank you.
This is Mishka Remick. So I believe the violation is not reporting within 10 days, and I agree it's a bit confusing in that regard. So for me, it would be helpful, Ms. Wartenberg, if you'd be willing to share the results of your screening, because it was an extreme DUI, and that would help me move this along. So again, I would be in favor of tabling more discussion until we have a bit more information at hand.
And just for future reference, like I said, on the original complaint, I thought I had to report once I was actually charged with it, which would have been my court date on December 30th. So then I would not have been, I guess you're supposed to, just to clarify, if once you receive a ticket, even though you're not charged yet, that's supposed to report.
Ms. Wartenberg, did you report to the board on December 30th?
I had already had contact probably a couple weeks before that. I let Ms. Donahue know that I had not been to court yet and that I was not aware I was supposed to have reported yet. But I did, I kept in contact with her every time I received a new notice or, and then once I went to court, I informed her that very promptly with all my documentation.
All right, so we have a motion, we have a second. Any other questions?
We have a motion, but I do not believe it's been, I don't even know who made the motion, actually. I don't have a first and a second. We had discussion about tabling it, but no one's made a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought Nishka made a motion and I seconded.
Okay. So all right, there you go. Now you have a motion and a second.
All right, is everyone ready to call the question?
Yes.
So the motion before you is to table complaint 2038, Janelle Wartenberg, to the February meeting, at which Ms. Wartenberg is requested but not required to supply the results of her screening tests. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Pastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes, and this will be tabled to the February 23rd meeting.
Okay. We've got that presentation.
This is Scott King. Can you hear me?
Dr. King, yes, we can.
Thank you. So I apologize. We've been trying to get in, but it hasn't been working for some reason.
Okay.
Do you want to take that one up before Ms. Adrian, Dr. Cornwall?
Yeah, let's see if we can get it in. All right.
So just I'll just do a brief summary again. This is complaint 2024. Tawanya Gilman, the board opened complaint 1924 after receipt of disclosure by the National Practitioner Database of a $100,000 settlement for substandard care for patient RC.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, well, maybe it kind of cancels everything, but I don't remember, I made a motion and I think there was a second. Do we need to start over?
Yes, you do need to start over.
Okay, before I do that, would Ms. Gilman or her attorney wish to make a short statement?
Yes, this is Scott King. Ms. Gilman is here if there's any questions. Dr. Cornwall, you had it correct. The insurance company made a business decision to settle this case. There was no consent clause, so they settled it without Ms. Gilman's consent. She told the patient to stay still, and she was standing right next to the patient while she demonstrated a toe tap exercise. The patient disregarded what Ms. Gilman said, moved, his knee buckled, and he fell. And that's basically the case in a nutshell. We respectfully ask the board to dismiss the case. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody on the board have questions for Ms. Gilman or her attorney?
This is Peggy Hunter. I have a few questions for Ms. Gilman, please. So Ms. Gilman, I'm also a PTA, and I believe I graduated from the same PTA program as you. I'm a little concerned because it appears from the investigative report, there's quite a few incidents where you did not contact your supervising physical therapist on various things. Would you like to explain why you didn't do that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to specifically. I had very good communications with my supervising PT. We conferenced every day, and any pertinent information I reported to him either through text message or through phone calls on a regular basis and in a timely manner.
Did you document that so that was a part of the record?
I believe I did on every record that we discussed the case every day, yes.
Okay, oh, I'm gonna give you an example. On the investigative report, you went to go see the patient and the patient told you that the nurses said that he had a problem, but it was okay for him to continue with physical therapy. Did you in fact call your physical therapist at that point and ask if it was okay?
I texted him with the patient's current acuity.
You did not put that in the documentation though. That's very important.
That made the case that I did do that. Anytime there was a status change, I would contact my supervisor either by text or through a phone call to report the patient's change in acuity so that I could know that if I could proceed.
Again, did you put that in your documentation?
I believe that I documented that I communicated with the therapist. I may have not gone into those specifics.
Okay. And there's several times where you did a Holman's test. What was the clinical rationale for that? And did your physical therapist tell you to do that?
Yes, my physical therapist required that I do that test for until he determined that it was no longer necessary.
That was not documented. What was the clinical rationale for doing the Holman's test? Was his extremity very swollen? Was it red?
I believe it was an overabundance of caution by the physical therapist to clear the patient of DVT before we did any treatment.
Well, there's quite a few things that, I really have a lot of sympathy for you because it seems to me that you were taking a lot of time with the patient because just in my opinion, I don't know what the other board members feel like, because the PT was not. But even though you were trying to do your best, I really believe you overstepped your scope of professionalism in some ways. So I would not be in favor of dismissing this case.
Any other questions or comments? We do not have a motion, so if anyone would like to make a motion.
It's Dr. King, just one question, please, for Ms. Gilman. Ms. Gilman, was it common practice for you to be the one to contact a physician's office for clarification on a patient's current medical status or recommendations prior to continuing with your therapy services for that patient?
It was, if I understand the question correctly, it was common practice if the patient had a status change that was evident that I would call my physical therapist and I would call the doctor as well.
Can you help me connect, was the physical therapist then notified with the physician, how the physician directed you to proceed? Or is I'm a little bit confused about the PTA being the lead and contacting a physician and taking direction from the physician to continue moving forward with treatment.
Right. So a lot of times, well, actually every time, I would talk to the physician and then I'd speak with my supervising therapist again after that phone call to get direction on how to proceed with the treatment or whether or not I should proceed with the treatment. So my orders came from the supervising physical therapist with the information from the doctor.
I may be missing it in your documentation. I'm not seeing that connection. I'm not seeing that you spoke to the physician and then you spoke to the supervising PT for direction. I'm seeing that you spoke to the physician, you moved forward with applying an ACE wrap, you gave the patient instruction on how to make sure they watched for infection, and that was that.
I did apply first aid, but then I also communicated to the physical therapist during the treatment and before I left the patient's home for any further directives from him.
I'm sure you may have. Our challenge is that that is not documented in the patient's chart and therefore very difficult to corroborate for us who are reviewing the chart as it is.
Dr. King, this is Scott King. I just wanted to point out too that Ms. Gilman and PT Han were caring for this patient for 2+ months after his total knee replacement, and the patient was seeing either his orthopedist or the orthopedist NP on a regular basis, and also saw PT Han during that time. And regarding the incident, Ms. Gilman contacted the PT and the doctor's office, Dr. Camerato's office as well, after the incident. So she was, communicating with her PTA, doctor's office, and seeing the patient regularly.
Mr. King, I can't, again, as I'm reading through the chart and reading through the documentation that we have and her statement, I'm seeing lots of communication with the physician. What I'm not seeing is that she communicated with her direct supervising PT, who that PT gave her the direction to continue with treatment or modify treatment or discontinue treatment. It seemed to have come from some other places. It's not in the documentation that her PT was the driver of whether or not therapy would be changed or continued. It came from the physician, which is not how we practice in this state.
Right, but she was following PT Han's plan of care, and like Ms. Gilman said, she was communicating every day with PT Han about when she was seeing the patient about the treatment, and the treatment on the day of the incident was within the plan of care that PT Han had authorized and had documented.
Hi, this is Nishka Remick. I'm just wondering if she had ever requested that the PT come check on the patient regarding the status change. And if she did, by what means?
I don't believe, to my recollection, a particular incidence of that. The PT did see the patient every fourth visit. So he was very well versed on the patient. And as I said, I gave him reports before every visit and after every visit.
And actually, PT Han saw the patient on September 16th of 2015, and the incident happened on September 24th, just about 8 days later or so. And so he was aware of the type of treatment that Ms. Gilman was giving in compliance with the care plan.
Ms. Gilman, this is Peggy Hunter again. Just a few questions. The exercise that the patient was attempting and then lost his balance, had he done that exercise before?
Yes, he had.
Okay. So I'm just a little concerned in reading the investigative report, you know, like for this patient's problem, did the physical therapist say to do mini squats with this patient?
All of the exercises were dictated by the physical therapist.
Did you ever speak to the physical therapist expressing concern that perhaps these were not appropriate for this patient to do?
I did not believe that they were inappropriate for the patient to do.
Really? Okay, thank you.
And he was not doing the exercise at the time of the call. And 2 days prior to this, he had been able to walk outside and ambulate and without any problems. Again, this was approximately over 2 months after his total knee replacement that the fall occurred. And just 8 days before, the physical therapist had done another evaluation of the patient in person.
Are there any other questions? I'm willing to take a motion.
I make a motion. This is Peggy Hunter. I make a motion to move this to an informal hearing.
Dr. King, second.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Discussion. I don't think that this is appropriate. I originally thought we ought to just take no action. I'm willing to do a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, but I don't think we need to go to an informal hearing.
I think I disagree, Dr. Cornwall.
That's good. That's fine.
Dr. Cornwall, I tend to disagree as well I'm not sure. It doesn't feel as though or seem as though in reviewing documentation that there's clear understanding of the scope of practice for a PTA, for this particular PTA, as well as documentation. If we can handle some of those things in a different way, that's fine. But I think there's a lack of education for this particular PTA. And if this is how she's working with this particular patient, my suspicion is that it's how she's practicing across the board. And I would like to offer or somehow ensure that she is very well versed in practicing as a PTA in this state, particularly if she's doing home health.
Well, I think you can handle that with a non-disciplinary order of continuing ed.
And just briefly, I would point out that this incident happened in September of 2015, and in the 6 years approximately since then, there have been no other incidents, complaints, or any other problems.
I'm sorry, but we're in discussion now. I didn't believe the attorney could speak.
I apologize.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. What do board members need in order to make the decision on how they want to vote? Okay, then I'll call the question.
The motion before you is to move complaint 1924 Twanya Gilman PTA to an informal hearing. Dr. Cornwall?
No.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Dr. King? Dr. King?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
And Mr. Greer is absent from the meeting now. Okay.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion.
Ms. Hunter, just want to say that the motion passes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then we'll move to an informal hearing. Now you're up, Ms. Hunter.
I'd like to open a complaint against Patrick Hand, PT.
Is there a second? I do not hear a second. Okay, Dr. Cornwell.
Okay. Let's see, is Ms. Adrian here?
I am.
And you're ready to go, huh?
I am, whenever All right. you guys are.
Are you so, ready to share your screen?
Yeah, I was looking, Karen, and I don't see on the three dots, I don't see a share my screen, but I do see a present now next to the three dots. Maybe that is it.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Please do that.
Okay, I'll try that.
There you go.
All right. Very good. So you guys can see the presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to try. I know how busy you guys are and how much work you have to do. So I'm here to try and succinctly present to you the Federation's performance evaluation tool, which is used for individuals who are doing a supervised clinical practice, specifically foreign educated individuals. So why did the Federation ever embark upon developing a new tool? Well, we had heard from our jurisdiction members that they were unhappy with their current evaluation tools. They were inadequate, they were inappropriate, they didn't have defensibility or validity that the boards really needed to rely on in case they were ever questioned as to whether or not the supervised clinical practice was evaluated appropriately. And then what was happening is that there wasn't a tool that was really designed specifically for use with the foreign educated population. Many of the jurisdictions were using tools that were designed for other purposes and really were being misused when it came to evaluating the foreign educated PTs. So what I will say is that there is a tool for physical therapists. There is not a tool for physical therapist assistants, especially at the time when the tool was developed, which was roughly 5 years ago or so. PTAs and their foreign educated PTAs really wasn't too big of an issue. There were very small numbers. So